Our podcast might contain some strong language. Welcome to the Red Carpet Treatment with me, Jordan Stevens, brought to you by the Brit Awards with MasterCard. My guest today is Nell Meskel, Irish singer-songwriter who you will find either on TikTok or at an Oscars after party. And if she's not at either, she's somewhere watching the Gilmore Girls. She goes on about the Gilmore Girls a lot. We don't agree, but it's fine. Me and Nell yap it up. We talk about her music, her family, and most importantly, ghosts. We really went around the haunted houses in this one. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Nell Meskel.
Nell Meskel who?
Nell Meskel, the singing sensation. I heard she's so talented, she can hit all the high notes and make wine glasses shatter. But be careful, if you ask her to sing, she might just Meskel up your eardrums.
Meskel up your eardrums? I feel like that's offensive.
It says you've been writing music since you were 12.
Yes.
Was that the first song? Is that how you know?
Well, I think I said 12 because I was, it would be rogue to be like I was writing music when I was 3 or 4.
Could have been.
But I was definitely, I have videos of myself like playing on the piano and like singing and being like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm talking about love. And I'm like, you're 4. You are in love with, I don't know, like f-ing Scooby-Doo.
And Scooby-Doo is a niche love, right?
Yeah.
Like no, just but, from the jump. To be fair, Lola Bunny for me. So we'll keep
no,
going.
True. On the record, I did not fancy Scooby-Doo when I was 4.
Fancies Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. But yeah, I have loads of videos from when I was younger. But then I think the first song that I wrote that I was willing to show my family was when I was 12.
So 4 is it?
Yes,
you've been writing
4.
Music since you were 4. You've got an incredible list of artists that you've supported. Haim,
yes.
Dermot Kennedy, Florence the Machine, Last Dinner Party,
yeah.
Phoebe Bridgers.
Yeah.
And you have fans of your music, including James Bay, who we've had on this podcast.
Icon.
Who is fantastic.
Yeah.
And also Jennifer Garner.
Queen.
Not just a queen, TikTok queen.
TikTok queen. Is she a TikTok queen?
Yeah, she's a TikTok queen. Is this news to you?
This is news to me.
Right, it was news to me until yesterday.
Okay, because I got told that Jennifer Garner reposted me. It was an excited mom running into my room going, oh my God, you will not believe it. And I'm going, what happened? Like, what happened? And she goes, Jennifer Garner reposted you. And I start crying for some reason. I love Jennifer Garner, queen,
Hollywood
like 13
star.
Going on 30. Come on, let's be real. But I didn't realize it was going to affect me. I took the day off school. I was like, this is so exciting.
You took a day off school
yeah.
because of a cosign.
Because someone reposted me on their story because I was like, I have too much adrenaline. I can't go to school. And I texted her after being like, oh my God, thank you. And she was really sweet.
An important part of your music career has obviously been your fan base, which
yes.
is an interesting topic nowadays because this is a new world of engaging with fans. Mm-hmm. I came into the music scene pre-TikTok.
Yeah.
Can you even imagine that?
Well, I started music and avoided TikTok. Like
wow.
I was posting on Instagram, okay. which is still you're online and you're kind of being perceived.
I was also pre-Instagram.
Okay.
Is that crazy?
So you're cooler than me is what you're saying.
No, I'm saying it wasn't even an option. We
yeah,
were Twitter only, man.
Yeah, that is wild.
Promotional tweets.
Yeah, I got into Twitter way after, but only to post about Gilmore Girls. And that's how I started posting on TikTok.
Gilmore Girls is so dry, bro.
I actually have to go. I can't sit here. I have to go. That's crazy. Are you joking?
I can't believe the extent of how mundane those people's lives are. And they're multiple series. No, seriously.
No.
Explain to me why Gilmore Girls is good.
Gilmore Girls is good because you start on an episode, it's 40 minutes long, and it kind of is nothing. And it's just like these two people living their life, but it is so complex and you fall in love. You fall so in love with these characters.
Okay.
It's crazy. Like, I feel like I'm the only Rory truther. A lot of people are like, she's one of the main characters. She's the daughter.
Right.
Everyone's like, oh, Rory's annoying. And she went off to college and she did this and it ruined her. And I'm like, no, her mom is annoying. She is a product of her mom. They're both really
annoying.
They're all annoying. But they're iconic. Like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
how I learned to yap. These people taught me the way. They showed me the way.
You are a Gilmore Girl.
When I was in LA, me and my friend, we went to this set and I cried.
Of Gilmore Girls.
Of Gilmore Girls. I cried. It was so emotional for me. I just love it so much. I will rewatch this twice a year.
Should I give it another go?
1000%.
My equivalence, I'll tell you what my equivalence is.
Okay.
Space Jam.
I love Space Jam.
Have you actually seen Space Jam?
When I was younger, maybe. That's someone with Looney Tunes in it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
The one with Bugs
yeah.
Bunny
yeah. Okay.
co-starring with Michael Jordan.
I watched
Name a better actor and cartoon actor duo. Literally. People yeah. say Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Bugs Bunny, Michael Jordan.
Yeah, no, I do remember watching it growing up, but it wasn't my main thing.
So anyway, back to your fans.
TikTok. So right. I was posting only about TV shows I liked because I was too embarrassed to show my music. So I was like, it's so crazy. And people were going viral all the time. And I was like, I'm not going to go viral. And if I do go viral, do I really want it to be the first song I can think of posting to go? Like, I was not prepared for that. So it took me a while. I had a few people being like, you have to post. But I think it in the end benefited me because a lot of people followed me just because they thought they liked the stuff that I liked.
Yeah.
And so it was like, we were just able to talk about TV shows. And my connection with the people that like my music is really nice because we can talk about loads of different things.
Serious?
Yeah.
Can you feel it growing, or do you have this kind of core hub of initial TV fan stands?
When I moved to London, I had no friends, and it was kind of iconic because I would go to the cinema or I'd be on TikTok.
On your ones?
Yeah,
best,
all the
best
time.
Thing ever.
Yeah, I've did it multiple times.
Sweet and salty, or just sweet, or just salty?
Sweet and salty.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, with like some sort of chocolate in the mix.
In the popcorn?
Yeah.
Continue.
I would go live on TikTok all the time. And it started off with like two people on it. And then it grew. And now it's like, I'll go on live and there's a few hundred people, which is like, you only really see it when you like play a live show. When you play live and you keep playing live, that and you see more and more people come over. Like I was just saying it earlier, but like I saw for the first time people queue up for a show. And
yeah,
I was
listen.
Like, that, there's nothing like that. Like it's so special.
I was going to get onto that. Playing live, massive for you.
Huge.
Because the relationship between fans physically, your instrument, your singing.
But also I grew up doing live things. Like I grew up in choirs and stuff like that. So being just online and being just a recording artist is weird for me because I've always just had my voice and I used it. And so I found it really strange and so exciting when we started. It was my project and I was playing shows and playing live. It was so daunting. But then as soon as I did my first tour, I was like, I can never not do that again. Like this has to be constant in my life. And it's scary how quick it becomes so important. Like, I don't 100%. Know if you get it, but like after a tour, like the big post-tour
set. Post-tour blues. Outrageous.
There's nothing like it.
Mainly it's because I've had it where there's like a tour assistant and they just do things. Oh. And then you get home and then like, I'm like, they're going, Suze, where's my, you know, like I used to sweat so much on stage that they would have like a little sugar salt water drink prepared for me so I didn't pass out.
Yeah.
At home, I just pass out.
Yeah, that's great. There's nothing that will make me cry more. Like, during a set when I see someone else crying during a song and I'm like, dude, that's crazy. Like,
yeah, but you cry with Gilmore Girls, so. Do you cry too much, you think?
I think I cry in aftermath. Like when I haven't cried in a while, I'm like, she's stunted, something's wrong.
What's
like,
a while?
If I haven't cried in like 2 days, check on me.
So you cry like three times a week?
More, I would say. I'm on TikTok and I'm crying. Like I played a show in Dublin and genuinely I went, because I was so excited. I was like, there's so
pull
many
yourself together
here.
Now
no truly I went, this is my house, get out of my house, I'm crying, like I can't do it. It was crazy.
Did you do the gig?
I did the gig, of course. I was crying because I was so,
you can't cry your gig.
I was so grateful. I felt I was like crying out of pure joy and I just kept crying the entire, and whenever I see my mom in an audience I'm crying. I can't.
Serious?
Yeah.
Was there's, she a big part in you your love for music
or? Yeah, my parents, my both of them are like, my dad plays loads of instruments and like always tried to teach me how to play an instrument. I always gave out to him, so now I'm like not very good at any of my instruments. I'm like self-teaching myself because I just would not listen to him.
You're just a born rebel.
You know.
Yeah,
I was a huge goody two-shoes. Like if you had said I was gonna drop out, I would have like laughed in your face. But I'm also very spiritual and I was like, do you visualize? Are you a visual person?
You're delusional.
Yeah.
Honestly, number one ingredient necessary for success in this industry. Delusion. Total delulu, bro.
But I'm like quite, I visualize everything. So I'm like, I can visualize me doing this in 5 years time and that's how I'm going to do it. And I could always see myself graduating. And then one day I couldn't picture it anymore.
You can see it. Your debut EP, Can I Miss It For A Minute?
Yes.
Is out now?
Yes.
Woo!
So excited about it.
What are your actual music goals, ambitions? What are you visualizing now?
What am I visualizing now? What I wanted to do with the EP was just kind of create a world that felt like me and like brought as much people as I could to like kind of be on the journey forever, because I want to do music forever. So I'm trying to set up a foundation that allows me to be touring in like 40 years. Like I want to keep going until I can't do it. I love it so much and I don't know how I would exist without what I do.
This is passion.
But I just love it so much and I think that like getting to do a project like this that I care so much about and that I put so much thought into and like worked with incredible people on, I'm like, this is exactly how I want people to see my music, is like that there is care and there is a world that you can.
When you say you created a world, like what was the process like? Was it, would you go in with a pre-existing idea? Would you have a conversation that would like ripple into a song?
Yeah.
Or would you, how would it work?
I think the EP is kind of a concept EP about like something that happened to me and like my relationship with friends and moving away. And each song tells a different part of the story. Mm. I wanted to let that go. Yeah. I wanted to move on. And so I was like, I want to do a project that I will be happy with to that's the last I write about it. Because you write about stuff for years. You like rinse your every idea you have on this one thing until all of a sudden you've got something else to write about. And I was like, I have other things I want to write about, but I'm so stuck on it. So like tying that's up fun. All these loose ends in my personal life, I was like, sick, this is great. And I would have wanted to hear this. A lot of the times I'm like, what would I have wanted to hear when I was going through it?
Yeah.
And yeah, so like sound world, you're just like kind of looking at artists that you love and kind of picking out different things that you want to create, but also like completely separate from it, but definitely as like an ode to all these people that you love. The worlds that they create are so interesting, and the ones that I like absolutely love. Like there's nothing better than putting on an album for an hour and being completely out of it. Like just listening to this album and then stepping back into the real world after. And I think that's what I want to create.
Are you hearing enough albums that are giving people that experience?
Definitely. Like Adrian Lenker released an album called Bright Future, and it's just incredible. Like from the second I turned it on, I was face planted on my couch crying. Like really? It was just so beautiful. And like every single song is so perfect, and it's untouched. It's so imperfect in like the best way. And I think that's what I'm looking for when I'm reaching for music, which is why TikTok is hard and stressful.
I mean, you have to essentially be your own marketing team.
Yeah.
So how are you feeling about that, translating the promotion of something so touching to essentially, you know, a self-facing...
Me lip-syncing, yeah. Going, do I look cute? It's really
hard.
You
prepared for it? Are you anti it?
I think what people want to see is real-life people talking about real life things that affect them and what they enjoy. So like movies and film and TV, and I'm made up of all these things that I absolutely adore. And so getting to talk about that with my music in context, like I just post videos with scenes from TV shows or movies that I'm like, I love it. And this reminds me of a part of a song I wrote, because it resonates, because people are going, oh my God, I love these two characters.
See, you already naturally have that concept in your mind of merging the music and the marketing.
It takes a while, because a lot of people do it, but I do think that probably works best for me because I'm showing my personality a little bit rather than just me going, I'm wearing a nice lip gloss today and I look cute. Here's my song about trauma.
Do you know about Rizzle Kicks?
I do know Rizzle Kicks.
Really?
Yeah. Do you know Rizzle Kicks?
I do.
Oh, sick.
I'm actually half
it.
Of Rizzle Kicks.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Big in Ireland, Rizzle Kicks?
Well, I knew about it.
Wow. And you lived in...
In Maynooth, a very small town.
Did you have a television?
No. What's that?
Joking, but when I was a kid, when I was 9, I went to stay in Connemara, right?
Okay.
And
well, Connemara is like west of Ireland. Like that's...
It's far.
It's far. Like when
it's in
when
the
did
countryside,
you go?
No?
What year?
I was 9, so this was like 2019.
50 years ago?
2001, I'll have you know.
I wasn't born then.
2000. Sorry?
I wasn't born then.
When were you born?
2003.
So I was in Ireland before you. Who's really Irish? No, but there was no telly in the house because it was so beautiful. Just looked out the window.
Incredible. Yeah, that was my childhood. I only kind of played with mud and dirt and kind of crawled around. I had no shoes. I was kind of just
right.
Like in the grass.
And yet you knew Rizzle Kicks.
Yeah.
Okay, so did your friends know about Rizzle Kicks?
I feel like I was quite private about my music.
Okay. You were going to say something before. You say you saw Rizzle Kicks.
I saw you.
Oh, me personally.
I saw you playing at the Omira.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my best friend Lucy was supporting, Lucy Blue. So that was, it was such a
So you left before I performed?
No, I stayed because, unfortunately, it wasn't because of you. I stayed and then I saw you and I was like, iconic, legend.
Jordan Stevens solo album, thank you very much. Let Me Die Inside You, available on Spotify, I think.
It's amazing, it was so good.
Thanks.
But I was going because me and Lucy we were basically trying to meet up and then we kept cancelling on each other. And I had no friends and I was like, I have to go to this gig and I'm just going to force her to be my friend.
Whoa.
So I go to the gig and then afterwards she's like, oh my God, you came. I hung out with her mom and dad and her boyfriend and then we watched your gig. And then a week later, me and Lucy were like, should we just move in together? And it changed my life, it was incredible. So thank you for that.
So let me just...
Yeah.
So I'm the reason you have a best friend and new flatmate?
At the time, yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was iconic, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Dope. And you enjoyed the gig?
I loved the gig, it was so fun. I loved the Omira, I played there recently and it was iconic.
What's one of your favourite shows that you've played?
One of my favourite festivals I've ever played was Latitude.
Okay, yes. Chill festival.
It was so chill, but it was the first festival I'd ever gone as a like a punter. And I went when I had first moved to the UK.
That's nice. So you were like, I wish I could play here.
I remember seeing Holly Humberstone and then a band called Sorry. I saw them play and I was like, I need to do this and I need to do it next year. I need to do it ASAP. And then when we played, it was crazy. And one of the security guards had said, like, this is the biggest crowd we'd seen. That I didn't believe him. And I'm going, wah, wah, like, you're just yapping. But then I saw people at the back and they were all holding up like Irish flags. And like, it was so sweet. Oh, like, and people like from home. Because I left home, I often feel a disconnect of being like, maybe people don't want to accept me as an Irish artist because I didn't choose to start my career at home. I chose to do it elsewhere. And so having that, it was really emotional. It was like, it was the first time at a UK show where I was really emotional.
Award shows. Obviously, you have not been to the Brits.
I haven't been to the Brits.
Yet.
I was asked to go and I was too shy.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I was asked to go. A company was like, would Nell want to go and watch? And I was like, no. I was like, I want to go.
I want to go if I'm bloody nominated. Yeah,
no, but I
want
to go if there's a reason to go. Or like if my best friend was nominated, I'd be like, yo, I'm going. I'm going to be there.
You didn't want to go for a meaningless reason. This is star quality from you. I'm seeing it. No, this is some boss bitch energy. I'm
also,
seeing it.
Also, it's like, I would have just been kind of sitting in the corner freaking out. I don't know. You feel like an imposter even though you aren't one.
Like, you feel
are
like
doing music and you're like, I should not be here.
Now, you're dressing it up as humbleness. But what we all know you mean is, I ain't going to no award show unless I see my name mentioned.
Yeah.
Boosh. That's what you're saying, which is fine. And as you should, you know, you want to like ride this Gilmore Girls stan fan crying every 2 days energy until you're up for best international act. Let's go.
That's how everyone should be kind of seeing it.
Are you at the Oscars and BAFTAs and the Oliviers because of your brother Donica?
Yes, he's an icon in the kind of film world. No, my brother Paul, but Donica is an icon.
Paul Mescal.
It's true.
Explain.
When a man and a woman love each other and have children, sometimes there are siblings that kind of come out of that.
Right.
He's my brother.
Does he bring his whole family or is it just you? Are you his favourite?
I think I'm everyone's favourite. And
course,
I think everyone would
naturally
say that. My dad sent in a lovely text message to the family group chat the other day. And it was a photo of my song that was playing on the radio. He said, I saw this and was reminded about how much I love my children or something. And I'm going, so you saw your favourite child do something and you said, I have to give everyone else like a compliment. I'm like, King, like I am the favourite. And my parents, both of them, they're screensavers.
Really?
And my dad's WhatsApp profile picture is me and him.
God damn.
I win every time.
How are you doing this?
I just show
just
up.
Just from pure vibes.
I show up and I talk about Gilmore Girls and they say, we have to love you.
So Paul's actually inviting you just to maintain his social credibility.
Paul's inviting me so that other people go up and go, who's that? She's incredible. But yeah, I was lucky enough to be his actual guest because he brought mum to the Oscars, which was incredible.
I don't know about the sibling thing really in terms of growing up and is it a wild thing to see somebody go through like an accelerated, because that was quite quick for Paul.
It's crazy.
Yeah, right.
Like it's a crazy thing to watch because also it's a crazy thing to watch because he went to college for it. Like he trained for so long. So it wasn't like an overnight thing. It was, he worked really hard at it. And so then to see it happen, it's like, you're so excited and so grateful. It's so scary because it's like someone that you love that's now on this pedestal. Like I can't imagine being my parents being like, oh my God, you're doing it. And Nell's also doing it.
Did you go to Oscar's after party? Did you go to one?
Yeah, I went to some crazy ones.
Name full names.
I was at Madonna's house and my dad went and my mom was too tired and she went home to bed and it was me, both my brothers and then my dad. And my dad swears on his life that him and Cher were dancing together at Madonna's house. And I was like, Dad, you were with me most of the night. And he was like, no. And I was going, Cher was not on the dance floor with you. Like, there is no way.
And
yeah, it did happen.
And he stands by it.
He stands by it.
You met Louis Tomlinson.
Sure. Do you think that's Louis Tomlinson? Do you think that he's in my kitchen?
Is he not in your kitchen? Sorry.
That's a cardboard cutout. That is not. Look at that photo.
He's perfect.
Can you imagine who's in my house and I'm looking like that?
Sorry. Can we do, what are you, what are okay. you wearing?
Let me just see.
No, for clarity.
My Sunday best. I was a girl guide. I was in Scouts, Girl Scouts. And I.
Did you buy this off the internet?
No, I went, it was a trip away with the Girl Scouts. And we had to do like these games. And there were 5 cardboard cutouts of each of the One Direction squad. And we could win them. But there was hundreds of us. And I won. And there was 2 left. And it was Louis and someone else. And I said, I want Louis. And I took it home.
Yeah. You have to. It's an obvious choice.
You have to. They were all iconic. And at that time, I'm like scream crying whenever anyone mentions One Direction. Like, I love One Direction.
Oh, you were one of them?
Yeah, that's why I was like so excited. That, look how happy I am.
So you're one of these people who just screams at things?
Yeah.
Like a Superman. Like,
yeah, no,
I've always been fascinated by you guys. I need to know more.
No, I'm actually quite chill.
Any posters in the bedroom?
Yeah, of course.
Hey.
I had someone, I had photos of this person on my wall, multiple, like my whole wall was basically photos. For some reason, this person ends up in my life. That's beautiful. It's amazing. They go into my room and they go, this is crazy. And I'm like, yeah, I manifested this. Like, you have no idea. And I was iconic.
Sorry, when you say ended up it?
Like, just kind of ended up being close to me.
Now? What I'm struggling with is, how did you not think that would be weird? If
because I
you'd
was,
forgotten.
No, I didn't live at home. I lived away, so I came home and I went, it was so funny. And yeah, I have posters all over my room. My favorite TV shows, my favorite artists. I feel like I've manifested most of the, like I manifested that Dermot Kennedy support and the Birdie support because they've been on my wall since I like was a fan.
I want to talk about Florence.
Please.
Is a big idol for you, Florence? The biggest.
One of the biggest.
You see how people, other actors, when they see your brother, they walk past your brother and hug you because you're the favorite. I had that in real life, truly, with Florence
because
I had a music video back in the day with my mum in it.
Sick.
And I've met Florence at a pub. My mum's there and she's hugged my mum and not me.
Oh my God.
That's devastating, isn't it?
But she's so sweet. Like
she is really cool.
When I got those supports, I was in the studio and I was writing and I got a call.
Did you cry?
Of course I
100%.
Cried. Everyone cried. I was like, this is so crazy. And like, I have a band as well. And like, even getting to tell them that stuff, I was like, that's
dreamy.
So cool. And like, I didn't know my agent was working on that. So it was a surprise, like completely. And I was like, holy shit. And also Irish shows. So I was like, this is sick. Like,
dream scenario business.
It was literally iconic. And all my family got to go. And she was so sweet. She watched my set, which there's no way she like, well, even should watch me because she's busy.
Because you wouldn't.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
In that position. Be like, watch the opening act.
I was like, Florence like does not need to watch me sing. And then, but she was there and she was dancing. It was really sweet. And I remember I like looked over to my guitarist and he's like, look to your right. And I'm looking over like,
no, that's too much.
Too much.
I couldn't deal with the pressure of the people.
Yeah, but it was so fun. She was so sweet. And we got a really cute photo and she was kind of giving me advice. And it was really sweet.
At the Brits.
Yes.
Florence, iconic performance with Dizzy Rascal. Were you alive
iconic.
For that?
Yeah, iconic. That's like actually probably one of the first times I would have seen both of you because I would have been like, that was my thing. Like growing up, I'd be like watching. I was like, how do you get to a point where you're asked to? Because I was doing like I was like, how do you become an artist? Like I was like, I want to be Hannah Montana. How do I do that?
Oh my God. Yeah.
So I would just watch.
Take your time though, please.
No, truly.
There's
I'm like,
no rush.
No, but at the time, like when you're growing up, it's like, I'm looking up people touring their tour buses. And like, that's like, I'm like, that's what I want to do.
People do that.
Older. Yeah.
I would never tour someone
you haven't
my
seen
tour
JB's?
Bus.
Justin Bieber?
Justin Bieber.
The Biebs?
No, I don't want to know what's on Justin Bieber's tour bus.
It's iconic.
Why
One Direction at the time.
What do you mean?
One Direction had a tour bus tour where they're going, this is where we sleep. And I'm going, oh my God.
That's
iconic.
But that's because you're a sick in the head sycophant.
No, but like anything. Like I will still watch it when I'm like, I want to get to a stage where I've got a tour bus. So
you're
I'm
obsessed.
Like, I'm obsessed.
You're obsessed in Delulu, which are the two things needed in order to be truly successful.
Yes, exactly.
But remember to go and check the opening act when you're on your headline
No, I do.
Tour.
And I had an incredible opening act on my most recent tour. Her name was Alice Auer and she's really great.
Do you hang out with them afterwards?
Yeah.
What's the goal? What are you manifesting venue-wise, realistically, in the next year?
Oh, in the next year.
In
I was
two
going
years.
Like, in 10 years, I know what I want to be
10
doing.
Years, go.
I want to play the O2. And I like
the arena?
O2. I want to do a few nights at the O2. I saw Billie Eilish twice at the O2 and I just like was bowled over.
Billie Eilish is cool.
And it's like 3 arena at home. Like I want to play the 3 arena.
Yeah.
If it kills me. I want to support someone in the 3 arena in the next year. That's my goal.
It's going to happen.
That's on my list.
All right, as we're both yappers,
yes.
What's the topic?
Ghosts. What's your opinions?
They're real, for real.
Yeah, for sure.
I've had a ghost. I am a ghost.
Yeah. Sick. Would you want to be a ghost?
What effect could it have on the world?
I don't know, because I feel like you wouldn't be able to yap, and I'm getting a sense
I'm
of like.
Sure, I feel like ghosts can whisper.
I don't want to be asleep in here. Do you want to talk about space jam?
I would love to hear that. I would love to hear that. I'd love to be friends with a ghost.
Oh, well, yeah. This is not like a ghost story, but this is just so funny. And I kind of don't want to tell it because it will ruin the game that me and my dad are playing. Anyway, at Christmas time, my dad was like, he whispers to me and he goes, because I'm the favorite child. He was like, I've got a thing that we're going to do later. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to go with it. And then he goes, whew, I have a chill. Like, I just feel off kilter today. And I was like, I knew he was going for something. So I was like, oh, really? Like, and he was like, yeah. And then a few hours later, he did it again. Everyone's going, Daddy, you okay? And he's like, yeah, just every once in a while, like every few years, it happened in my childhood. It's nothing. He was like, yeah, he was kind of going through something. And I was obviously in on it. And then at dinner, he said it again. And Paul and Danica just went, Dad, what are you yapping about? Like, what is it? Like, you actually just want to say something. So say it. And he goes, right. Ever since I was like 4 or 5, I've had a gift. I start battling him as if like, I don't believe him. I'm going, so you're saying you're Matilda, like be so for real, Dad. And he's going, I wouldn't say that, but I would say that I have some sort of magic. I would call it magic. That's what I would call it. But right. If you don't want to hear about it, I'm going, no, obviously we want to hear about it. And Danica and Paul are like on the edge. They're going, what are you talking about? Like, is this real? Because my dad was deadpan.
Deadpan, smashing it.
Yeah, and,
Oscar
and I'm asking him questions so he can stay in character. Because I know whatever he's about to say is bullshit.
This is where you got it from.
So then Dad goes, I can prove it. I can prove it. And my mum's just like happy to be there. She's like, oh my God, family time. But Paul and I go, f***ing prove it so. And he goes, everyone give me your glasses of water. So we line up all the water. And it's so dumb. And he goes, if you touch the glass of water, if you, whatever one you like put your hand over, if I have my eyes closed, if I'm in a different room, I'll know which one you hovered over. And I thought it was so dumb, but I thought it was so funny. And I was like, there's no way these are believing it, because if you're believing it, what the crazy.
Yeah.
So anyway, Paul goes, fine, Dad, close your eyes. So Dad like puts the menu over his eyes and he's like this, we're at a restaurant. And Paul puts his hand over one of the cups. He puts his hand over this cup.
Yeah.
And Dad opens his eyes and goes, I can do it. So he puts his hand over it. And I obviously take a sip of my drink when he lands on the right one.
Yeah.
And he does it and they're going, and then they were like, but that could have been a fluke. So he does it. I shit you not. The boys made him do this 20 times.
And they didn't notice you were sipping a cup.
They didn't notice. And they're going, oh my God, that is magic. Fully, these are grown men. Paul is 27, Danica's 24, 25. But then it gets worse because we are quite a competitive family. Danica's quite like, the sky will be blue. And he's like, I think it's green. Like, he's very,
like me.
He's like you.
And contrarian.
I was gonna say, he's trying to be contrarian, so I have no time for it. But he goes, one of us has it as well. So then Paul goes to do it. And I shit you not, he got it every time.
No, what?
Out of nowhere, he got it.
Wait, the moral of the story is Paul actually is magic.
We're all magic, but Danica was the only one that, like, got it wrong every time, whereas I got it right.
No.
Paul's magic.
Oh my God.
No, it was like, it's the craziest thing, but he still believes it. Like, I'm afraid for this podcast to come out because we were going to keep it going for a few years, but it's so funny.
And that is the clip that everyone will be sharing. Nell Mesko, everybody. You've been listening to The Red Carpet Treatment, brought to you by the Brit Awards with MasterCard. Make sure you follow The Red Carpet Treatment on Apple or Spotify so all episodes get delivered to your device every week. Coming up next week on The Red Carpet Treatment is Wes Nelson.
Came backstage and we was just chatting about music and he was saying, oh, really like your stuff. I was like, damn, didn't even know you'd like listen to my stuff.
Mm.
He's just like, yeah, I'd love to get in a studio. I was like, I'd love to get in the studio. I've actually got a song for you already. I've made it. I've wrote it.
You already had a song with Craig David ready?
No, I lied.
Oh, you were just running off vibes.
My foot in the door.
Wow.
When I jumped on the plane, wrote the song, got back to the studio the next day or two.
You're living the dream.
We jumped in and then that was actually it.
You lied your way into best friendship with Craig David. This is an SE Creative Studio production.